Y'all were right. Should listen better. This is John 21, verse 6. And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast. And now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You may be seated. Five years and 1 week ago, I took that picture. You go, "Oh, okay, showing his family photo." No, that is not family down on the shoreline. That is a fishing boat about 200 cubits offshore, fishing on the Sea of Galilee. That is an actual fishing boat on the Sea of Galilee, and I caught that picture when I was there in 2019. I think that was February 25th or 26th, so 5 years and a week ago. And I mentioned that for two reasons. One is because I have some credibility to the story now, because I'm standing not far from where Jesus was standing when he called the disciples and told them to throw it on the other side. And the other reason is because you get an imagery of how far offshore they were. In other words, Jesus could not just see fish that they couldn't see because he's 300 feet. It's the length of a football field away. You can't see fish underwater with your human eye that far away. No matter how clear the water is, that's not possible with the human eye to say, "Oh, look, you just weren't seeing them there." The fact of the matter is, in this story, and I want to give you a backstory on this verse, because there's a lot of things going on that we need to know. And I'm going to give you the backstory on this one, not like I did the last one where I did not until the last message. On this particular day, Jesus has appeared to the disciples on at least one or two occasions. This is after his resurrection. He's standing on the Sea of Galilee, and some fishermen are out in a boat. We happen to know them: Simon Peter, Thomas, or Doubting Thomas, Nathanael, the sons of Zebedee, which are James and John, and two other disciples are gathered in the boat fishing. So we have several guys, so it's not a little John boat. It's a boat at least 25 feet long. They found some and had them on display in Israel. So it's a boat that would be able to hold those men and their catch. And the story is that they are gathered together, and Simon says, "I am going fishing." Love that line. It doesn't sound like a powerful line until you know why he says it is relevant. But this is after Peter has denied Jesus three times and he's not been reinstated. Jesus has not confronted him with that yet. And so the other disciples say, "We're going to go with you also." So that's why they get in the boat and they're fishing. And it's immediately they go out, and it's nighttime. You can surmise why. Maybe because they're afraid of the authorities. Maybe because they fish at night. Or maybe that's because that's when Peter wanted to go. But they've been fishing all night, and they have caught nothing. Seasoned fishermen now. Jesus called these guys from their nets, and they've caught nothing. When morning broke, Jesus stood there about the spot where those people are standing, depending on how high the water was, but comparatively that distance from the shore, and they didn't know it was him. And so he says, "Throw your net to the right side of the boat. You'll find some fish there." And that's what they do. And what they caught were many, many fish. So many that the net almost broke. But the fish there are not, you know, like sometimes I catch. The fish there are probably the same size as they are today. Now, I didn't bring a picture of one of them that was on a plate because it just looks like a dead fish gutted. And my wife enjoying it. But it's about that long. And that tall and about that thick. So it's a decent sized fish they're catching out of Galilee. Very healthy fish. I imagine if you had an opportunity to go there with a fishing pole, you'd have a fight on your hand if you caught one. But they weren't pole fishermen. They still aren't. They still use nets there. I didn't see a single person casting a reel even when I went. But I saw nets and nets all over the place while I was there. While we were there. So when Jesus says, cast the net onto the right side of the boat, what he's saying is there's more fish out there. You've caught nothing, but there's still fish. Do you understand just because they didn't catch anything didn't mean there were no fish? Fishermen have stories they tell about not catching any. And they say this, I must have used the wrong bait. They weren't biting. I went at the wrong time of the day. Somebody must have fished that spot. We find the reasons why we didn't catch any, but we never say there were no fish. Fishermen know there's always fish or they wouldn't fish there. Correct? We know this. It's obvious. And Jesus says there's fish and they're ready to be caught. And what he calls the fish, he doesn't call fish. He calls them food. He calls fish food. Did you know that? So he says, your food is ready to be caught because that's what they ate. We find out a little later in the story that there's their breakfast, which is fish and bread. And when he feeds the multitudes, what does he feed them? Fish and bread. It's what their diet was because that's what the land and the water produced. So everywhere, fish and bread. And this is typical and expected of their meal. And Jesus says, there's food there. And you don't know about them, but let me remind you, the harvest is plentiful. When you throw your net in the right place, the harvest is plentiful. Learning how to throw the net, why to throw the net, and when is important. But so is where to throw the net. And it says in this sixth verse that we just looked at, let me pull it back up for you. It says, they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Multitude. You've heard that word in Scripture before? The word multitude is the same thing which says Jesus fed the multitude. There was a multitude of fish. It means a whole bunch. He fed a lot of them. And I share that with you because when we talk about feeding the multitude and the multitude of fish, Jesus operates in numbers we don't understand. When Jesus says, there's a few fish you'll find over on the other side, their nets could barely hold it all. They called it a multitude. They called it a lot. But did you know, even if they had caught several thousand fish, it would only last a few days in the market. You'd have to catch more. And even when Jesus fed the 5,000, when he fed the 4,000 in the multitude, they were going to need food again. It's the process of the abundance of God's provision. That you may have caught a lot of fish today, but there'll be more tomorrow. God works that way. And when we are working as fishers of people and investing in them, there's going to be a multitude of harvest. It isn't, oh, someone beat us to them, there are others that God calls us to. Does that make sense? So if you start looking at your life and the world around you, you go, well, you know, I'd like people to help us grow our church and bring them in, but they're going elsewhere, so I don't know who to ask anymore. Well, Jesus says, where you've caught nothing, there's still something. You just have to know where to look and how. As a part of getting ready for this message, I didn't learn a lot, because learning to me is actually knowing how to do it. But I learned about net fishing, the way they did it. And there's a lead on the net that you have to hold to throw it the right way. And it has a solid rope around it, like almost like a lasso that you throw out a certain way so the net spreads. If you do it wrong, it just lands in a ball. You won't catch any fish. So you have to let it spread and then sink. And there's another rope on it that you pull to draw the net closed. So it closes like a hanging net basket. And so the fish can't get out once you close it. But these nets that they used were not small nets. They were maybe 15 feet across. So that's, you know, if you watch basketball, it's from the free throw line to the basket in a circle. So that's a pretty big net. And it can hold a lot of fish if you fish it well and you catch a lot. And so their net could hold many fish. And they considered it like this. If we cast a big enough net, we might catch the ones we'd miss with a smaller net. So we're fishing a larger area to catch the ones we might have missed with a smaller net. And that was their process. They'd throw the net out, let it sink to the bottom, and then pull it up in the ball. And they did that constantly all night.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
What kind of fisherman would it be that casts the net, catches nothing, and after a short time quits? What kind of fisherman would that be? Would you say it would be someone who doesn't make their living as a fisherman? Is that possible? If they fished all night, they're just putting in an 8-hour day. But those fishermen put in many more hours than that. Because once they caught them, they had to get them to market to sell them. And to catch them is only part of the job. But they fished all night, gathering the net, nothing, throwing it back out there over and over and over all night long with nothing. But they didn't quit because they caught nothing. They kept fishing. They were still fishing when the morning broke, even though they caught nothing. You would think we would like to be catchers rather than fishers. But we fish and trust that the right fish get on and are in the right spot when we catch them. So what they're doing is the work of fishing, even when there's no results. They continue faithfully to do it. Some people say that's insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. But the fact of the matter is, in fishing, that's not true. In fishing, you can do the same thing over and over again and not get anything. And then the next time you can. And it makes all the work worth it. I remember going fishing one time, and my dad would row the boat. I was at the front of the boat. We would fly fish. And my dad would always, he'd be rowing, but he'd still catch more fish than me. We were on Lake Glendale one summer evening near the swimming area after it had closed, and I knew where the lurking bass were along the posts there that held the ropes at Lake Glendale. If you've ever been there, I don't have a picture of it with me, but if you've ever been there, you would know that a lake is beach is cordoned off with posts and ropes with floats on it. And we knew from fishing there enough that that's where the bass like to hide, by them posts. And my dad had outfished me a bunch, but I happened to cast apparently at the perfect spot, and I pulled in the biggest fish I've to this date ever caught in my life. I pulled it in, I got it in the boat happily, and we put it in the bucket. And my dad said, "That's a nice fish, son." I said, "Dad, that's the biggest fish I ever caught." Him outfishing me didn't matter anymore, did it? Didn't make a hill of beans difference. I caught the biggest of my life. I don't even remember how many he caught or I caught that night. I only remember one. So when we're fishing for people, we don't remember the misses or how many others got. We remember the one that God brought to us and through us. It's kind of, Gary, I think you can relate to this if anybody else has played golf. It's this old story of playing golf and you're not having a good day and you just kind of go, "I hate golf. I hate golf. I'm never doing this again. I hate golf." And then you hit one that's pure and true and it goes so beautifully and you go, "I love golf." And there are many times, because I am horrible at golf, that will be the only thing I play for, is that one swing. But that one swing makes you forget all the hard work you did before and after. And that's what's going on with the disciples. They've caught nothing, but they know as soon as they catch something, the work's worth it. So it's not insanity to keep doing something that works, because it's time tested and proven true that this method works and it will work. We invest, and the reason why we invest in other people in our community and our families is because we have caught nothing. You say, "But that's not the point, is to catch nothing." No, the point is the more nothing you catch, the closer you get to something. Because it means you're still persistent and still working on it and still doing the things that need to be done. We may have made the wrong investment or the right investment. Or the wrong plan, or the right plan, or the wrong time, or the right time. But what matters is whether we did it with the wrong attitude or the right attitude. Because you can do all the right things with the wrong attitude, and your investment won't pay off. It is when you've caught nothing, in the darkest hour of desperation, that you keep going, that the catch soon comes. Why do I say that? Because once you catch what you've caught, nothing else seems to be important anymore. The Bible compares it to a woman in labor. Once a child comes and is in her arms, and she can see the results of all that struggle right here, there's a transformation in that moment. I don't know what you call it, but it's the moment of, "This pain is unbearable," to, "It was worth it. The struggle was hard, but it was worth it." There's that moment in time. And that moment in time is when that baby takes its first breath of life. It's a moment in time when a first person comes to Christ and you see them take their first sight of life in Christ. That they come to the table for communion and it's not bread and juice. It's body and blood. And they know it and they receive it that way with joy. That's the transformation. That moment. That's the moment that if you haven't cast the net, you miss it. So we should always be casting the net. In season and out. Because not catching is the best reason to cast it. Because you can't cast a full net. Once you've caught your fish, or your quota, there's no sense in throwing the net out again because you don't need it. And there will be more fish tomorrow. In this story, the reason I'm drawn to it so strongly is because the scene, not only where I stood, but the fact that the disciples who were in the boat caught fish, a multitude of fish, more than they've ever caught at any given point in their life, simply because they cast it when Jesus said to. He said, now's the time. Throw it on the other side, and this is where you will find them. They didn't say, we're tired. They threw it one more time. Can you imagine how many people have given up the moment before the one more time would have done it? Can you imagine? But there's a bigger picture going on here. And don't miss this. Jesus is standing on the shore and he has cooked them breakfast. He's got it ready for them to eat. Now, how would he know when they're done with their day to cook them breakfast unless he knew when their day was going to be done? But there's another piece to the story beyond that. In this scene, Peter will be reinstated. This is how Jesus chose to do it. But there's one other piece of the puzzle that you and I sometimes miss. Jesus called them to be fishers of men and they left their nets, didn't they? But when Jesus was crucified, they went backward to the only thing they knew to do. Peter went back to fishing. The one who betrayed Jesus, thought he was ostracized from Jesus permanently, said, I'm going back to the life I knew before he called me. It's the only thing I know to do. And Jesus was going to use that as an example for his glory and to reinstate Peter with a scene that is so unforgettable that after you hear all the pieces that go into this over the next few weeks, you're going to stand at the shore of Galilee at that picture that I have, and you will weep at the shore, even not having been there. It's that powerful of a story. So we're going to cast the net. And let's pray that our investment pays off. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your blessing, for your healing, your restoration. I know that you have called us, you've redeemed us, and you've asked us to continue the work that you've done in us and through us. And in so doing, others would find the joy in you that we found. And as we prepare for communion now, remind us that you cast your net far and wide. And you have not drawn it back in yet because the harvest is still plentiful and your net is big enough. Thank you for that. Thank you for catching us in it. Amen.